For our scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus.
It is indeed a blessing to be in the house of God with the people of God, to be able to worship our God and our Father in spirit and in truth. We're very thankful for the opportunity to do that. Hope, pray, and trust that we never take that for granted and that we always strive to be the people that God will have us to be. And that's from the pulpit to the back pew. When we consider 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, a very powerful passage of scripture as Paul is talking to his son in the faith, he tells him that he needed to hold fast to sound words. And the more that I consider this, at least from Thursday to today, it caused me to think about the week that we just had. We had an amazing week in the Lord on last week, those who were here. And I want to encourage you that if you did not hear all of the lessons, that you can go to our website and you can listen to those. I have sent the lessons to individuals, and a few of those individuals have already told me they have listened to all of them, and they have received great encouragement from those lessons. And so what we want to do, we want to consider some of those lessons on this morning. Because when we think about this life, and we tend to hold fast to many things, we tend to hold fast to people. We tend to hold fast to ideas, thought processes, and actions in life, whether from the past or even right now. And when we consider the decisions that we make, all of us make decisions. And all of us have to put ourselves in a position where our decisions are in line with the scriptures, the word of God. And so when we find ourselves in life holding fast to certain things, we have to ask ourselves, are the decisions I'm making, are they propelling me or are they hindering me? Are they helping me or are they hurting me? And so Paul would tell Timothy to hold fast to the pattern, to the outline, the sketch, if you will, when you look at that word in the original, of sound, healthy words that actually benefit, words that actually cultivate Christian thinking, morality, uprightness, holiness, righteousness. And so Paul, as he is teaching Timothy some things personally, we keep in mind that as Paul was working with Timothy, he would actually meet Timothy in Acts chapter 16 when he was with his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. As a matter of fact, he would understand and find out that Timothy, having a mother and father who were faithful to the Lord under the dispensation of Jesus Christ, being members of the Church of Christ, well, he had a Greek father. And because of this, we find Timothy being taught by Paul over the years humility and sacrifice. And so Paul would encourage Timothy, if you will, to be circumcised. And so in this circumcision, he did that because his father was a Greek. He wasn't a Jew, if you will. So here, Timothy being half Jew and half Greek, and well, if he's going to take him out into the ministry, take him out to preach the gospel and serve people under the law of Christ, well, he knew that that would be a hindrance. Well, what we learn about Timothy is that he was humble and he was willing to sacrifice in order for the cause of Christ to go forward. So we learn some things about Paul and Timothy. Paul, he kept it simple. Timothy, he kept it simple. Our theme for the gospel meeting was to keep it simple and sound. And so we learned some things about Timothy, that he was one that was humble, one that was willing to sacrifice, one who had to be encouraged to be strong and of good courage. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. The more that I consider the relationship between Paul and Timothy, he would call him his true son in the gospel, his beloved son in the faith. Now, keep in mind that Timothy's father was Greek. His mother and his grandmother, faithful to the Lord, 2 Timothy 1:5, we see that and we understand that. And they had great faith. And Paul would say that I know that this is in you also. But his father don't know all about that situation. And so Paul would encourage Timothy to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to hold fast or hold forth to the pattern of sound words. And so what I wanted to do this morning was to follow suit, if you will, because we have to ask ourselves, what did we learn from our gospel meeting? What were we reminded of in our gospel meeting? Because there are some, well, we were just reminded of some things, not necessarily that we learned something, but we were reminded of some things. And then there were some who actually learned some things. And because of that, they responded to that particular message. And so, Brother Corey, if you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40. When the lawyer came up to Jesus, asked him a question. He said, well, who is my neighbor? Well, when we understand how loving God, and what does that mean? Brother Corey brought out some excellent points concerning what does it mean to love God? What does it mean to truly love him? Well, what should we be loving God with? Brother Leon, our heart, our soul, our mind. Mark's bringing out our strength. Every aspect of our being. Brother Corey brought some excellent lessons concerning how to love God and how to love our neighbor and how we ought to be loving our neighbor as ourselves. Friends, it does matter how you see God. Because how you see God is how you're going to see yourself. And how you see yourself is how you're going to see others. But then you go even further, and you're talking about loving your enemy. And the Bible demonstrates that we as a people of God must love our enemies. And I find it interesting that God is, he's merciful and gracious and loving and kind, even to the unthankful and the evil. The more we consider this, we learn in our gospel meeting that we have to learn how to love God and be reminded that loving God is doing what he has asked us to do, doing what he has commanded us to do. And friends, make no mistake about it, he has left us commandments. And Jesus, because he loved his father so much, John 15, 9 and 10, he loved God so much that he kept his commands. And God loved him so much that he gave him commands. And so we learned those things. We were reminded of those things during our gospel meeting. And in that gospel meeting, it was just amazing to hear those lessons, to be reinforced, reinvigorated, if you will, to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But we also learn, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through verse number 7, verse 6 rather, that we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And our dear brother, he actually was demonstrating some things that caused me to think, I'm like, wow, you know, when we stop and we think about keeping the unity of the faith, keeping the unity of the Spirit, when we think about that, there is one faith, Brother Brian. I know sometime in this world, religious world, people will say, well, what faith are you of? Well, that's not the right question, because there's only one faith. And it is the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints as relates to what Jude said in Jude 3. And so this faith that we are part of is a system of teaching. It is a system of teaching that demonstrates how to be a child of God, how to be a Christian. And we learn that in this system of faith, it teaches us that there is one church. And that point was pounded not only by Brother Corey, not only by Brother JP, but even Brother Orr. And we know that they did not have a meeting together and say, hey, what you preaching? What you preaching? But that's the consistency of the Word of God, that we can actually study the same things. And 1 Corinthians 1:10, we ought to come to the same conclusions. And so from the words of Foy E. Wallace, who some of y'all may not know, but he was a great gospel preacher in his own right, in his own time. Well, if not, why not? There are so many things we learn, and that Brother Corey brought out through the Word of God, with the Word of God, and how this one system of truth, one system of faith, actually only produces Christians. In Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That teaches us that there are no hyphenated Christians. I know there's some women that when they get married, they take on their husband's name, and rightfully so. But there's some women that they keep their maiden name, and then they put a hyphen, and then they put their husband's name. Well, when you're following Christ, you're a Christian. That's it. And some of the brothers brought out some of those points. We're not Catholic. We're not Methodist. We're not Presbyterian. We're just Christian. Brother Leon, just Christian. Just followers of Christ. And the very fact that they were called Christians first in Antioch, this system of faith teaches that. And so if any man suffer as a Christian, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, well, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. A Christian, just a follower of Christ. Just one that keeps the commandments of Christ. Why? Because God the Father gave him commands, and he gives us commands, and we're supposed to keep those commands, and we have identity. We're Christian. I'm reminded on one occasion where Paul was talking to Agrippa, and he said, almost persuaded me to become a Christian. That was it. That one system of faith is so important for us to keep in mind. And brethren, make no mistake about it. Let us not be ashamed of that. Let us not be ashamed of being Christians, and simply Christians, and only Christians. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at verses 4 through 6. And when we think about this particular point, and I'm so thankful that some of these points were alluded to as it relates to the one faith. But notice what he says in verse number 4. This is after he encouraged, through inspiration or by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he says, there is one body. I maintain and I subscribe to you that these are in order. But why? You got the Jews and the Gentiles, and they're arguing, if you will, if I can say metaphorically speaking, that, well, the Jews thought, well, we're God's chosen people, and here you got the Gentiles, and you got them coming in, but they're not of the same body. No, they're one body. And Paul would say in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, that one body is the one church. And you're members of that one body, one church, Colossians 1, 18. So he says it's one body and one Spirit, meaning Holy Spirit, one revealer, if you will, just as you were called in one hope, that one expectation of your calling. One Lord, that's Jesus right there. One faith, that's what our dear brother was dealing with on last Sunday. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Notice what he says there, friends. When we think about this great plan, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 6, God the Father is working through this. But why? He wants to save all men. He wants us to love him. He wants us to respect ourselves. He wants us to be neighborly. He wants us to keep the unity of the faith. Friends, make no mistake about it. We learned a lot on last week. I hope, pray, and trust that you go through some of those lessons and take notes, ponder, meditate, make application, make your life better. Hold fast to the pattern, to the sketch of sound words. But we learned some things also from our good brother, Brother JP. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I only got 2 points, Brother Ryan. You believe that? You know, it's not scriptural just to have 2 points. I only have 2 points. What we learned from our gospel meeting, how do we apply it? And I love how Brother JP, as he was talking about Matthew chapter 6, and how we ought to be prioritizing the church, the kingdom of God, must be a priority. What does that mean? What does it mean that the kingdom, this territory where the King of Kings rules, this territory where he is the one that is governing, the territory where he has subjects, the territory where he has enemies. Friends, Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's that one, if you will, that God the Father made king. He sat him on his right hand. He said, now rule for me, rule for me. And so Jesus would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But hold on real quick. Why is this important? Because in Matthew 6, he just informed them and encouraged them. Don't be worrying. God takes care of the lilies of the field. He takes care of the birds of the air. Surely he'll take care of you. But I need you to do something. I need you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. And our dear brother, Brother JP, what he did was he encouraged us as men to lead the charge, lead the way. Why? Just as Joshua would say in Joshua 24, verse number 15, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. We're going to church today. We're going to worship today. We're going to Bible class today. We're going here today. Why? Because we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And I love when he made that point, Brother Brian, challenging us as men. You know what's wrong with our society today? We have masculated the women and feminize the men. Amen. Mm-hmm. And if you're a real man, that's toxic masculinity. That's overboard. He's a chauvinist. This thing is 50-50. Our God doesn't talk like that. Friends, we need more men that's going to stand up and say, as for me and my house, this is where we're going. It's interesting, some of those same men will take their children everywhere across the world. But they need to be right here. Learn the people of God. Learn the word of God. And so Brother JP was coming down the line. That young man, I tell you, man, we haven't seen nothing yet. If God gives that young man more time, he's going to continue to study the word of God, apply it to his lives. And we're going to hear about him preaching and teaching the word. We need more than that. We need more of that. Why? Because you got older men such as Royce. I know he is not here to defend himself, but he's old. He's on his way out. I know one of y'all going to text him. Brother Mike said you're old and decrepit and about to fall apart. And I didn't say all of that. But I am saying this. Brother Brian and I are the same age. We're on our way out too. We need Leons. We need Evans. We need JPs. That's going to get up in the pulpit, mount it, and say what God's word says. Amen? We need it. And so we were reminded of the church and how the church is singular, how she is the bride of Christ and that she is no denomination. We were reminded of those things. The pulpit must be used for that. Why? Because it was never in God's mind for his son to have multiple wives, multiple brides, multiple churches. That was never in his mind. He suffered and bled and died for his cause, for his church, for his kingdom, for his people. And friends, when we stop and we consider this, this has to be taught to our families. So our children don't grow up, Brother Dietrich, wondering if, am I going to the right place? No, I can know the truth. And Jesus said in John 8:32, you can know it and it will set you free. And so, what happens? As Deuteronomy 6 teaches, we use life as a classroom. And so we learn so much. We learn so much from that. I have to keep going, but he taught us and reminded us of the distinctiveness of the church and took us to Matthew 16:13 through the end of the chapter. One brother said one time, you know, I've always stopped at verse number 19. And then when he began preaching, he took it all the way to the end of the chapter. I'm like, man, that was amazing. That's right. When we're studying and teaching and preaching, let's read all of what the word of God has to say. Let's not stop at our favorite passages. And so what did he do? He took us to the end of the chapter. And he stopped. And he demonstrated, there'll be some of you that would not taste of death till you see the kingdom come with power. Hold on. You know, there are some religious groups that teach that the kingdom of God has not come yet. Jesus said there'll be some of you that will not die till you see the church come. Friends, we're members of that church. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that we're part of the blood-bought body of Christ, the church of Christ, the one that was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and how Peter was preaching and the rest of the apostles and this, the people said after they was preaching, or while they were preaching rather, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is to you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call, and with many other words. Brother Lynn, he down there, he's smiling. He loves this preaching, boy. It's the word of God. With many other words, testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. 3,000 souls were baptized into Christ. And the church of Christ began. Not denominationalism, the church of Christ. And they worshiped in Acts 2 and verse 42. The very first worship was on the day of Pentecost. On that first Sunday. You think it's an accident, friends? Brethren, do you think it's an accident we're here on the first day of the week worshiping and not yesterday? It's no accident. We were reminded of those things. And friends, make no mistake about it. We need to make sure that we hold the pulpit accountable. Whoever's in that pulpit consistently need to be reminding the church of the fundamentals. Keep it simple. Keep it sound. Put it where we can understand it. For you, Wallace was debating a guy one time, and he went to all of the guy's scriptures. He put all the scriptures on the board, all the scriptures on the board. And he said, okay, explain that one scripture, Mark 16, 15, 16. And he got up there after 4 years, and he said, that's not right. He shouldn't have put all those scriptures up there and then tell me to explain this one scripture. Why didn't he just put the other passages up there and tell me to explain all of them? He said, my dad told me when I was out there feeding the horses, just give them one ear of corn, and if they eat that, then give them another. You haven't even nibbled. You know, you stop and think about those things, friends. We're just trying to preach the word, make sure that the word of God is being preached. And so we want to be distinct. We want to be clear. We don't want to be so general that people leave and they don't know where we stand. Friend, God always tells us where we stand. Finally, Brother Orr, he emphasized God's seriousness. Now listen to this. He emphasized God's seriousness of paying attention to worship and in worship. Brethren, did you get that? We need our young people. Y'all, let's look at me, young people. Y'all need to pay attention when you're in worship. This is not a time to be playing. We need to be paying attention to worship. What's going on? What's going on? And I love how he emphasized how that when we come to worship, oh yeah, we're singing, we're praying, we're listening to the preached word, we're remembering the Lord's death till he come, we're offering. But our hearts have to be right. We have to draw near unto God. And he emphasized John chapter 4, verses 20 through verse number 24, how the Father is seeking such to worship him, that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We need to be reminded, educated men, educated brethren don't even get that point no more. Friends, God wants us to worship him. We come down, we bow before him, which means that when we come to worship, our minds are already set. We're ready to go. We're focused. We don't have time to be talking about everything under the sun. I'm here to worship God. And after the benediction, after the amen, we can talk about whatever you want to that God is pleased with. But now that I'm here, I'm focused. Now that I'm here, I want to focus on him. That's why we're here. That's why we assemble. And so God gives us the focal point Acts 20 and verse number 7. Turn your Bibles there. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, here the Bible says something that's very important and worthy of us to be considering. Because some people think that they come to worship for just about any reason. But here we see, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, for what purpose? To break bread, for communion, to remember the Lord's death till he comes. Brother Dustin, as he read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through the end of the chapter, I love how he just read that and gave us an opportunity to consider those words. We're remembering the cross. We're remembering the life that Jesus lived. And then we examine ourselves. Okay, where am I? Am I focused? And then as we're doing this, we're taking this collectively as a family. And for this reason, brethren, and mark this down, now that we have completed what God wanted us to complete, we don't have to come back on Sunday evening and do the same thing. We already did it. Now when we come back on Sunday evening to study the Word of God, that's the purpose of us coming together, to study the Word of God, not to remember the Lord's death till he comes. We already did it. So we completed what God wanted us to complete. So does that mean that I don't have to come back on Sunday evening? God forbid. You come back because now you need to exhort one another, to build up one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works, and to learn more about God so you can be moral and righteous and holy and upright. Why? Because the more that you're that, when you come back on next Sunday, you're going to be closer to the God of heaven. That's why we do what we do. So why did they come together? To remember the Lord's death. To break bread. To encourage one another. As I come to a close, that's true, I'm coming to a close. The more I thought about this and the five acts of worship, we were reminded that there were five acts. And brethren, let's keep in mind that everything we do on the first day of the week, as Brother Orr brought out masterfully, God is the audience of worship. There's only one audience, and that's God our Father. He's the audience of worship. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. I don't sing good. God is the audience of worship. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. God is the audience of worship. We are participants. We are the worshipers. We are the true worshipers of God. And because of that, we learn to separate ourselves from sin before we assemble. That's why it's so important that we allow the Word of God to sanctify us, to set us apart. Why? Because when I'm set apart from sin, then I gather with those who are set apart from sin as well. There is a sweet smelling aroma as it goes up to the nostrils of Almighty God. And he said, that's well pleasing unto me. Friends, we were reminded to just keep it simple and keep it healthy. Can we do that? Should we do that? Why shouldn't we do that? Well, again, as I close, point two, holding fast to sound words. I just have a few questions. What can we take from what was preached on last week and hold ourselves more accountable than what we have in the past? The more I was considering some of the lessons, and I thought about the point that Brother Corey made in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 of the body, soul, and spirit being preserved blameless. Brother Brian, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I know I keep calling your name out. But it's not enough to just keep your mind clear, keep your soul clear. this body belongs to God too. It's not enough to just keep your body clean. You got to keep your mind clean. I'm about to say something. There are so many of us, not necessarily in this building, but if it fits, that don't mind being, especially our young people, virgins bodily, but in your mind, you're all over the place. You can't do that. You got to clean it all up from the pulpit to the back pew. You got to clean it up. And these are some of the points that were being brought out. I'm like, amazing. Hold on. If I do that, then I'm operating in truth. But then you remember the square in the middle? I get to trust God. And what's the hardest thing to do? Trust God. And from Genesis 1, verse 1, to Revelation, the last chapter, what God is trying to get us to do, trust me. And why didn't the children of Israel enter into the promised land? Hebrews 3, 12 and 19, because they didn't trust God. And so the question, can we add more knowledge to our faith? The answer has to be yes. Let's just keep it simple. Let's keep it sound. Husband, wives, let's work together. Let's be better parents. Let's be better lovers as husband and wives. Better friends. From the pulpit to the pew. I know I can work on some of those things. And if I can work on some of those things, and I can admit it, then I bet you can work on some of those things too. Because if we trust God, that means I'm going to take him at his word, and I'm going to learn how to do what he tells me to do and follow his son. Then I'm going to find myself right where I need to be when it comes to communication. When it comes to loving my spouse. When it comes to loving my brethren. When it comes to worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Sanctifying myself as my Lord, he sanctified himself. So, we end with this. How did the meeting help you last week? Well, Brother Mike, I wasn't there. That's fine. Go online. Check it out. Take notes. Think about what was said. Make your life better. Because when you do that, then you make us better. And then when you make us better, now we make San Angelo better. And when San Angelo is made better, then Texas is made better. And when Texas is made better, then the United States is made better. And when the United States is made better, the world is made better. In that order. But we got to start somewhere. Let's have a word of prayer. The lesson be yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're good to us, and for that we're thankful. We're thankful for men like the Apostle Paul that was a great example to Timothy, who taught him how to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. But Father, we're thankful for the sound words that was preached to us last week. Father, you know what was preached. You know the spirit in which it was preached in. You know all of the individuals that were affected by your word. And Father, we want to give you glory and honor and thanksgiving for such great men that heard, that preached rather the word of God, and our sister Carmen that exhorted and encouraged our sisters, and not just sisters here, but sisters from all over who came to hear the word of God being taught to them. Heavenly Father, we ask that as the shepherds here, we do our best to be good examples, to make impressions, to rid sin, to be more patient, to be more understanding, to be clear, that members may know who they can run to. Father, help us as the people of God here at 9th and Main to be that refuge that the world can run to, according to the Hebrews writer. Pray to Father that this is a safe place. The safe place that they can run to when trauma happens, or that safe place that they can be part of before trauma happens, that they don't have to suffer in silence. Father, we know that some of us suffer in silence. Pray to Father that we'll take these sound words that has been taught to us this past week, Just help us to be better. Father, we know we're not perfect. We know we fail thee. Sometimes we fail thee through rebellion, through fatigue, because we're tired. Pray to Father, you be merciful unto us, be kind to us, and give us time to simply make things right. We know you don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. We know that you don't want any to fail, any to perish. Help us to do us right. Father, pray that the things that we said this morning were encouraging yet straightforward, that people will know what you would have us to do in order to be saved, to follow your Son, to have the hope of eternal life awaiting. Bless us according to your will. Help us to be strong in your Son and the power of his might. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. I want you to consider. Consider the gospel, the good news. You think about the gospel and how it was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and how Jesus was that lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and how God had the church of Christ in his mind before the foundation of the world. Would you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Will you believe that? Will you be willing to repent of your sins? Change your way of thinking? Stop thinking like the course of this age, the course of this world. Stop thinking carnally, worldly. And start thinking according to morality and uprightness and righteousness and holiness. Turn away from that. Confess that Jesus is the Lord, is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, to be exact. You don't have to confess you're a sinner. God already knows that. That's not commanded. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. That's where God put remission of sins. That's where God put one to be clothed with Christ and then heirs according to the promise that he made to Abraham. That's where God put one where he can be united with the blood of Christ. That's where God put it. I know the denominational world says ask Jesus in your heart, but that's not where God put it. God put it in baptism. He put it in the water. He put it in the blood of Christ. This is why you have to be baptized and come in contact with the blood of Christ so you can come up clothed with Christ. Be faithful. Every now and then you're going to do something that you know is not right. Be faithful. What do you mean, Brother Mike? Just make it right. Just turn away from it. God is faithful and just to forgive. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you're just making life complex. Sometimes bottom makes life complex. It doesn't have to be that hard. But sometimes I make it hard. Friends, you don't have to make life hard. You make life easier by simply making up your mind that you want to do what is right. Denying yourself. Take up your cross every single day as a child of God. And Jesus said, follow me. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.